Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark once again. Mark chapter number 5. This morning we didn't really continue on in our series. We did start off there, so we're going to work through it this tonight. And Mark chapter number 5, got a wonderful story. So he loves me like I was his only child. I have never been an only child. I was one of the middle children there. I was the baby of our family for 10 years, and then my brother came along and he became the baby of the family. And I still think I'm their favorite, but my brother and my sister might think a little bit differently. We always joked about that. So they loved us all the same. But man, how much God loves us! The type of love God shows us to be able to call Him our Father. I mean, man, you think about it. He deserves so much respect and so much awe. But He also says we should come to Him as our Father. He's so great and glorious, can do all things, but He says, you know, come, Abba. So it's Abba, Father, and man, it's just a wonderful thought about it. Many times when I'm struggling, when I'm feeling like we talked about this morning, going through the fire, I go to Him, and He loves me. And I like to think about how my sons, if they had come to me with an issue or a problem, how to respond to them, and how my Heavenly Father is so much better at that than I am. And boy, thank you for the song. Let's see here. And we're going to get to Mark chapter number 5. Last Sunday morning in our series, we talked about the maniac of Gadara. We talked about the change that only God can make. Now we're proceeding forth. Remember at the end of the story what happened. Those people that were from the Gadarenes said, Jesus, we don't want you. Please leave. And that's the challenge that we got to remember here, is that we all have the same need. We all have the same issue. We all have a whole different story. All of us have different stories and different ways of looking at things. We're all on different journeys, in a sense that some are young and some are old, some are male and some are female. And thankfully, those are the only two choices you got there. And you got all these different things going on. And we all have our own story that we're trying to follow God's will. But we all have the same need. That's Jesus. He's the answer that we need. You're going to see in the story tonight, there's two different characters. There's Jairus. He's coming to Jesus for his daughter's sake. And then there's the woman with the issue of blood who's coming to Jesus for... And there's a lot of similarities in the story. There's a lot of differences in the story. But there's one answer for all of it. They all needed Jesus. And that's where we got to come to an understanding, is we need Him. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss how much we need Him and how dependent upon Him. Sometimes we actually think we can spend a day without reading His word, or spend a day without praying to Him, spend a day without thinking about Him. Boy, we're wrong when we do that. We are in desperate need of Him. And the people from the Gadarenes are there, and they're from Gadara, and they're saying, hey, we don't want you here. They're pushing away the need that they have. Now, the maniac understood that. The maniac went and told a bunch of people. If you see what it says in verse number 20, it says that he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis and how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. But then it says, as there's a group of people that's pushing him away, look what it says in verse 22. And behold, there cometh... I'm sorry, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. So one group says, we don't want you. The other group is sitting there and they're waiting for Jesus. Why is that? They understood something. At least a portion of them understood something. They needed Him. They didn't let anything stop Him. They needed Jesus. They needed God. And the title of this evening's message is, different situations, different problems, but the same answer. We all have different situations. We all have different issues, but there's still one answer that everyone needs. Every person you meet, they need Jesus. Now, once again, I know if a person is saved or on their way to heaven, they've gotten as much of the Holy Spirit as they're going to get. I get that. I'm not looking for that second blessing. I'm looking to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and understand how much I need Him to lead me and direct me and to guide me and to show me, as we talked about, to refine me, to remove that scum, those impurities in my life. And this group of people that's there waiting understood something that the people over there in Gadara did not understand. They didn't think they needed God, and they understood, I need you. And so tomorrow morning when you're tired and you don't know whether or not you're going to have time to read your Bible and time to pray, you're missing something. You need the Lord. Amen. You need Him every day. You need to walk with Him. You need to talk with Him. You need to spend time with Him. You need to be growing in your faith. You cannot do this life on your own. He has not designed it for us to do it on our own. He's designed for us to be dependent upon Him. So we're going to just kind of walk through the story. It is a little bit of a longer story. And I don't know if we're going to get it all done tonight. Next Sunday morning, part of the reason we stuck in the Gospel of Mark is because next Sunday morning we'll probably preach some type of more of a mission style message in preparation for the missions conference. And I wanted to make sure we didn't spend the whole day without at least going through some more of Mark here. So let's jump in verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Now, I'm going to tell the story as it goes along as we're reading. Sometimes we do it in point form. Sometimes we kind of tell the stories, but we'll talk mostly through the passage and then we'll make some application at the end. I want you to take notice of a couple of things here. He says, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, what have we learned about in verses chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4? The people in synagogue did not like Jesus. They were many times his opponent. Many times they were trying to cause him problems. The religious leaders were not someone who was known for being there and asking for help. But this man comes and he realizes how desperate he is, even falls on his face or falls on his knees and talks to Jesus. And he understood something. And once again, if we would grab a hold of this, I need him. It's a desperate need. He understands here that he is in desperate need. He understands he's not going to be able to help his daughter. Verse 23, and besought him greatly. I think sometimes I do it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this message is just for me and you're just listening. I don't know. But I know sometimes I don't seek him greatly. I think I got some of this on my own. I think I can handle this situation. I think I can handle that situation. Sometimes I even think, hey, do I really need to spend that much time in the Bible? Do I really need to spend that much time in prayer? Do I really need to follow the rules? That's what my flesh tells me. But this man came to a desperate spot. He realized that he could not help his daughter on his own, in his own strength, in his own flesh. And it's understanding this principle. I cannot live this Christian life without him. I am in desperate need of him. Just as much as he needed, just as much as this man needed God's help to help heal his daughter, we need God's help to be able to live the Christian life he desires us to live. He fills us, he enables us, he makes us able to do those things that he has designed us specifically to do. He says, and see what it says in verse 23, "and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter." Now, he calls her my little daughter, and I don't know if we have any 12-year-olds in the room, but this young lady is 12 years old, and they probably wouldn't want to be called little. And it's Andrew's birthday today, and I was joking him yesterday a little bit and said something about my baby of the family. Now, he's definitely no baby. He's 21 today. You know, in the world's eye, he's able to do things that supposedly only adults can handle. And but no 12-year-old's going to want something. But this is the way he sees her, my little daughter. And look at this. Lieth at the point of death. So the man that he probably was critical of the past, the man who he did not want to have anything to do, did not want to believe, when he came to a desperate spot, he goes and it says that he fell at his feet and he says, "My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." He approaches her. He approaches him when he sees how great the need is. The victorious Christian life is when we see how great the need is day after day after day. We continue to go to him and we continue to walk with him and we continue to see, I cannot do this on my own. I need his help. I need his strength. And it says in verse 24 that Jesus said, "I know you. You're the guy from the synagogue that gave me a hard time. You're the one that cast me out. I don't have anything to do with you. Go take care of yourself. Go take care of your daughter." Is that what Jesus says? Not at all. Is that what he's going to say? No. If there is someone who comes to him with a sincere help and wanting to know and wanting to learn and wanting to understand and seeking his help, he says, "Come unto me." That's the cry. It's, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. All ye that labor heavy laden." And so he says in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. Once again, there's a large crowd that's waiting. And I bet you the synagogue ruler was there, and they had cleared out a path because his position in society brought him to the feet of Jesus. Now, there's another person that enters into the story. Once again, a different story, a different situation. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, when I went and did a little bit of studying, this woman with the issue of blood would have been somebody who's ostracized from the society. No one would have been around her. She wouldn't have been allowed to go into the synagogue. So you have one person over here who's a ruler in the synagogue, and you have another person who hasn't been probably allowed into the synagogue. Some of the reading I was doing, and once again, as you're studying, I'm not a expert when it comes, I'm probably not expert about anything, but one person said that even that the man would have a right to divorce his wife if she had this issue of blood for such a long time. I was like, wow. But that just shows you that this woman had been suffering. And look at this next phrase. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And you think about that. Suffered many things of many physicians. That she went to them for help, but instead it was a suffering. Maybe it's because they're trying to heal her. Maybe it's because they're trying to fix her. And she went through so many different things trying to get the healing. And had spent, look at this, had spent all that she had. It was nothing bettered. This next phrase, but rather grew worse. So we see for 12 years, you see that there's a daughter there, Jairus' daughter that's there, and he's enjoying his daughter. It's his little girl. I mean, that's the one he loves. And then for 12 years, you see a lady over here. You see the similarities that are here. You see a lady here who is suffering and been through a lot and ostracized probably in many ways. People didn't want to be around her and didn't want to be near her and things like that. And you see the enjoyment that they had for these 12 years. And then you see the difference in the fact that this lady for 12 years hadn't seen real joy or experienced real probably human touch in a long time, and that she wasn't getting any better, and she spent all that she had, and she grew worse. Verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, I like that. I think you go and you listen to all these different characters. You think about the Zacchaeus. Why would he climb the tree? Someone told him about Jesus. Someone told him what Jesus could do. Why would this woman had fight through a crowd to touch the hem of his garment? Because someone had told them the difference that Jesus had made. He said, Jesus is your answer. Why would blind Bartimaeus sit there and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, when everybody's telling him to be quiet? It's because he was the answer. He was, someone had told them, someone had said, there is someone that can help you. There is nobody else that can help you, but there is someone, and his name is Jesus. And that's when the story of this woman, she's coming, and she heard of him, and she came in behind the press, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain in her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Wow. 12 years. They're suffering. One moment, Jesus helped. I mean, man, he is the answer. Now, does he fix her problems just like that? Not often. Sometimes it happens. We're thankful for when it happens that way. It doesn't always happen that way, but he's still the answer. And she understood that, and she, in her weak state, because things have gotten worse, she pushes her way maybe through the crowd. I don't know the whole story. You like to imagine in your imagination that she's pushing through and touching the hem of his garment. Maybe as she's falling down, she reaches out in one last ditch effort and touches that garment, and she's healed. That's because Jesus was the answer for her. Jesus was the answer for Jairus' daughter. Jesus was the answer for the maniac of Gadara that went around all the town and said, hey, this is what God did for me. He can help you too. He was the man with the answer for the withered hand. He was the man that was the answer for the mother-in-law that was sick, Peter's, and those divers diseases and all those different things, physical, spiritual. He is our answer. But so often we forget that, and we don't run to his feet. So often we miss the fact that we need to grab a hold of him, just get a hold of him just a little bit, touch the hem of his garment, reach out to him, seek him, as it talks about what Jairus did, seeking him greatly. And continues on, and it says in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this seems a little bit comical because of the fact that the people, it's described that he was being thronged. And you ever been in a spot, maybe a Black Friday or something like that, or big games, that people are bumping into you, touching you, and you can imagine, "Hey, I want my space." Well, you shouldn't be here because it's close. And, you know, somebody just touched me. It's sort of like you think about a child saying, "Oh, they touched me." No, it's he's trying to teach them something here. Not only is he trying to teach her something, he's trying to teach the group something. He's trying to teach Jairus something here too. Jairus or Jairus, I don't know how to pronounce it, so please forgive me if I go back and forth. But he's showing him that this woman here that wouldn't have been allowed in the synagogue is just as important and has just the same great need that his daughter does. She'd been suffering for all these years, but he was the one that is suffering today. Verse 31, even the disciples questioned the Lord and says, "And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And I don't know, once again, I'm hard-headed. If Jesus said something and Jesus wanted something answered, I wouldn't turn around and say, "Jesus, why? Look, everybody's touching you. How can you say that?" I wouldn't be questioning. I'd be like, "What do you mean somebody touched you? What do you want me to learn from that?" But we're not attentive like that. Many times we're reading something and we become quizzical and like, "Yeah, everybody's touching him. What's the big deal?" But Jesus had something he was trying to teach them. And that's what we've got to learn in every situation. He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to show us something about herself. He's trying to show us that before honor becomes humility, and humility comes before honor, and that sometimes we have to be humbled in order to have God work and move, and sometimes we have to get rid of those impurities, and sometimes it has to go through that fire of affliction and all those different things. And he's trying to teach him something, and he does. And he says in verse 32, he says, "And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." So we see this woman comes and says that she's fearing and trembling, as if she was worried about what he was going to say or worried about what he was going to do. But look at his response. It's not like, "You touched me without even asking me. You took away some of my virtue." You know, sometimes we miss it. We need him. And look how he responds. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You imagine, for 12 years she has been plagued with this. For 12 years she hasn't had that peace that he's saying, "Look, because of your faith, you've been healed. Now you can go and be in peace." And the problems that we have in our life is when we realize peace comes from him. Peace comes from spending time with him. Peace comes from being close to him. As we talked about this morning, some of the challenges that some of these great Bible characters had, like a Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or even a Ruth or an Esther, or even Mary, and even think about Abraham, all the different times, Paul in that prison cell, Joseph in the prison cell, David in the cave. He's like, "Where did they get that from?" They understand something. Jesus is with them. Jesus is what they need. It's all they need. As we looked at in Haggai this morning in Sunday school, we talked about how he says, "I am with you. My spirit go with you." And it talks about how you can be strong and how you can be courageous because he's promised us and he's covenant with us and all those different things, to the point that we realize he is our answer. Well, you see, the story continues. Jesus was supposed to be on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, but there was a distraction. Sometimes people hate distractions. I'm not a big fan of them sometimes. When something interrupts, when I'm trying to get something done and I get interrupted by something, I'm like, "Oh, I need to get this done." And I got to realize the Lord's in charge, in control of the interruptions too. And that sometimes there's time that needs to be taken. And it says, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And in this story, there's a question there. Is this man who doesn't understand, who doesn't know Jesus, like we do, or like we should, or like we could, he says, "There's something that's happened to your daughter. She is dead. Why are you bothering him anymore?" And I tell you, get to him. Spend time with him. Go to him. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to cast your cares upon him. He wants you to see he's the answer to your problems. He is what you need. And he will teach you and learn you and guide you. And some people is like, well, why are you bothering God with that? He doesn't care about that. Well, why in the world do you even say and put that? No, that's not the same story. And the answer is, it is. He is the answer. Even when this man who doesn't understand what Jesus can do, saying, hey, look, don't trouble him any farther. Even he can't help you. God can. No matter what the situation is, he can. Don't let the world, don't let someone else, don't somebody say, well, God doesn't care about that. God doesn't care about you. God can't even take care of this. Truth is, he can. He is the answer. He is where we need to run. He's where we need to get to. And look what it says in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Now, Jesus could have told that guy, hey, be quiet, go away. He knew what he was going to say. But he wanted to teach them. He wanted to show them this. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. I think about that McBride song. This is probably my favorite McBride song that they sing when it talks about God is enough. You know, he be not afraid, only believe. He talked about the different. He is more than enough for everything we need. And we realize that, and we must continue to get to him. That sin stops us from getting there. When we don't take time, it stops us from getting there. There's obstacles. There's people that say, like this servant who was trying to be kind, look, your daughter's dead. Come home. Spend time with your wife. Don't worry about bringing that guy anymore. He can't. No, he is exactly what that family needed in that moment. Jesus was what they needed. We should be saying, come, come. We should be saying, this is where you need to get to. You need to spend some time with him. You need to love him. You need to understand him. You need to see what he's learning, what we can learn from this. And it says that, be not afraid, only believe. It's easy to say, easy to sing. It's hard to do. When someone is sick and someone is struggling, the worry, the anxiety, what do? We pour our heart out to the Lord. So we talked about overcoming anxiety and worry. Pour our heart out to the Lord. Trust in him. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. And once again, they made a big deal. Sometimes they would even hire people to wail and to weep. And it's a big scene. And them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumah, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And there was astonished with a great astonished. And he charged him straightly that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. He raised the dead. What is it in your life that he cannot help you with? What is it in your life that he cannot do? What is it in your life that he cannot help you fix? What sin is it that he cannot help you overcome? Because he's giving you these promises. Three things tonight, and we're going to go through them quickly because we spent so much time in the story. First thing I want you to think about, I want you to see the differences between the situation. The differences, and we alluded to them throughout the story. Jairus' life was probably pretty good. Ruler of synagogue, probably a wealthy man, had this 12-year-old daughter, probably the apple of his eye, as he called her his little, he called her, he says, my little daughter. And sometimes it's my little daughter. 12-year-olds probably don't like being called little daughter, but he's my little daughter. And you can imagine the joy and happiness they would have had a great group of friends. Would have been lifted up in society, very wealthy. Over here you have a woman who is struggling, more than likely all alone, has nothing. It says that she spent all that she had trying to get fixed. Not only does it say she spent all that she had, and that phrase kind of speaks to my heart, and suffered many things of many physicians. She went to a place that she was hoping for safety and hoping for help and hoping to get something fixed. And you know what happens? She faces much adversity there. It says, suffered many things. And you see the example of how good the life would have been here versus how bad or how much of a struggle this life would. There's a big difference there. Another difference you think about from a spiritual side. This guy over here is known as a ruler in the synagogue. He's someone that would have been close, supposedly, to the Lord. Someone who would have been a part of all the different rituals and all those things. And over here you have a woman who was ostracized, not allowed into the temple. Probably, we don't know 100% sure the whole story, but this would have been a person that wouldn't have been one being touched. So like the leper was someone that when Jesus touched the leper, who was the last time that he had been touched by a man that was whole? And this woman was lonely, where this man had so much going on, had the friends, had the family. This woman was someone that they were different paths, different stories. I want you to see the similarities. The differences are stark differences, but think about the similarities that are here. So what's the similarities? They both had a problem and an issue that only God could help them with. They both had something going on in their life they could not fix themselves. I'm sure Jairus would have had all the best doctors come to his little daughter's room and to the little daughter's bed to try to fix it. Just as this woman probably went to some of the same doctors when she was wealthy and would have went and had things and would have said, can you help me? The similarity was, and the biggest similarity was, there was a need in both of their lives, and that need is something that no one else could fix but one person. God, Jesus, God's Son. The similarities was that there was a need that only God could take care of. And I don't know how much I would like to just beat it in my own head, is that I have such a great need. Maybe not as much of a physical need as Jairus' daughter, as this woman did, but my need is just as great, my dependence upon him and my leaning on him and putting myself inside his hands and allowing him to do his work in my life and allowing him to refine me, allowing him to design and mold and make me into what he desires me to be. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot take these steps on my own. I must lean not on my own understanding. I must in all my ways acknowledge him and let him direct my paths. I can do nothing spiritually without his help. And I don't want to live for things that are temporal. I want to live for things that are eternal. And I must learn to get to him. I must learn to rest in his strength and rest in his power and rest in what he is able to do. I must see that he is the answer to my issues and my problems. When I got something going on, I must say, what is it that he wants me to do? Just like that woman had an issue, just like this dad had an issue, there was one person that could help them. It was Jesus. There's one person you can introduce him to anyone, because every person has a need of salvation. And after that, every person has a need to lean and depend upon him. Last but not least, I want you to see Jesus' response. At the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we talked about, let's see how Jesus is going to respond to these people. Let's see how Jesus treats those who treated him badly. Let's see how Jesus responds to the outcasts. Let's see how Jesus deals with the people who do not know what he can do. You see the things that he says to Jairus. He doesn't turn to him and says, he says, you tried to trick me inside of the synagogue. You tried to put that withered man's hand there, and you tried to do things that cause people to doubt me. Why in the world would I want to help you now? He doesn't do that. You see the response, and many times when we have been injured or harmed, we want to step back and we want to ignore and we don't want to have any part. And he's like, no, you hurt me, I want to hurt you back. No, you've treated me wrong, and because you treated me wrong, I want to treat you bad. I want to rejoice when things go wrong in your life. You don't see this happening with how Jesus responds to Jairus. There's a need there, and he's able to help. And I want to encourage you, let's try to be like him. Let's try to respond. Let's try to point people to Jesus. Let's not say there is not someone else like this. Like we said about this woman with the issue of blood, you don't need to come here. You don't need to worship. Many times, because of the disease or because of the problems or the physical deformities in the person's life, they would say it's because of a sin of them or their parents or whatever. But God was the one that could help them. I want you to see the response he had to Jairus. I want you to see the response he had to the outcast. You think that there was really magic inside his robe? There wasn't. He healed her. He knew exactly what was going on. There was tons of people that was touching him. They didn't get the healing. It was the faith that was the connection there. And even though she may have been an outcast, and even though people might not have wanted to be around her or touch her, you see the response that Jesus loves her, that Jesus cares for her. And even though she's healed, she still, it says that she's trembling. It says there that she comes and the woman was fearing and trembling. He takes time with her. Even though he's on a rush to help this ruler's daughter, he stops to take time. And I want to tell you that he'll stop and take time no matter what your pay grade is, no matter where you're from, no matter what you do. He loves you and he will stop and he will take time just as he does with this woman. He could have just kept on walking, but instead he wants to encourage her. He wants to help her to understand thy faith had made thee whole. You can have peace because of the faith that you have in God, the faith that you have in me. It wasn't about touching some robe or some garment. And that's what she had in her mind. This is what I got to do. I got to get there. I got to touch. It wasn't the robe. It wasn't the garment. We don't know what the stories that she had heard. We don't know why she had in her mind, if I could just touch him. But Jesus wanted her to understand it's your faith that is in God and your faith that is in me that can make you whole. Now you can go and you can live in peace. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be trembling. I want to encourage you today. Sometimes we sit on the outside and we don't always understand. And we wonder what's going on. Go to him. Speak to him. Learn of him. Understand and through the stories of the Bible, through the understanding of what he says and how he responds to others. He loves this woman where she was very unlovely, hard to love. She still cared. Last but not least, I see the response that is given to this guy who doesn't believe that Jesus can help a dead person. Boy, he was wrong. And sometimes we face people like this. We face those that injure us or harm us like Jairus did. We face the women's that are the people that are out, the outcasts. And we face the scorners sometimes. Now, once again, I don't think this man is trying to be hurtful. I don't think this man is doing it on purpose. I think this man is, he's heartbroken. His master's little daughter is there, and he wants him just to come home and comfort his wife. But in the story, you see here, he says something. In verse number 35, why troublest thou the master any further? There's this world is going to be filled with people that do not understand what God can do, that do not understand the difference that God can make in their life. And we must be like Jesus. We must learn to push our faith and say, look, you don't need to be afraid. Just believe. Believe that God can help you. Believe that God can make a difference. Believe in that his word. Believe in his promises. Keep on moving forward. Let's keep on going because of the fact that he can make a difference. He is the answer to the problems of this world that we have today. He can fix anything that we face. And we need to believe. We don't need to be afraid. We just need to believe he has a plan and purpose and that he can work all things together for good. And we see the response he says to this man. He looks at Jairus and he looks at him and he says, look, be not afraid, only believe. He says this in front of this servant that who said, why are you troubling the master anymore? We just need you at home. But the real thing that they needed at home was Jesus. Don't think that he is the problem. Don't think if you bring him into the situation or bring him into the conversation or bring him into your home or bring him into your work or bring him into other areas or bring him into other relationships. Don't keep him out. Don't push him away. Don't be like the people of Gadara that says, we don't understand what's going on here. We don't understand what happened to our animals. We don't like how you're making us feel. We don't like how this make me feel uncomfortable. You need to just get out of town. You need to leave. And sometimes we push him right out. We say, I don't understand this relationship. I don't understand why this is going on. I don't understand why this is happening. It's uncomfortable to have God in the situation. It's uncomfortable to put God's word in the situation. It's uncomfortable to consider what Christ would say, what Christ would do. And we push him out and say, we don't need you here. We have this. We don't want you here. But we need him in every area. We need to run to him and say, we need to be like those people as they were coming off the boat. There's a crowd there just waiting. There was a crowd pushing him away. There was a crowd waiting. We need to say, look, don't be afraid. Only believe. Keep on walking. Keep on taking that next step and that next step and next step, because we need more of him, not less of him. We need to grab a hold of him and wait on him and listen to him and expect him working instead of pushing him away just because we don't see and just because we don't understand, because there is a change that only God can bring. And it's a change that needs to be seen in this world. It's a change that needs to be seen in my life. It's a change that needs to be seen in your life. It's a change that needs to be seen in our church's life. What God can do, and only what he can do, because flesh is flesh and it will fail. But God can make a difference. We see here the differences. We see the similarities, but we see the answer. Whatever the story is, whatever the problem is, God's the answer. Whatever the relationship is, issue and problem is, this person talked bad about me. See what God has to say. Well, this person harmed me. I'll see what the Lord has to say. This person doesn't believe in God. Well, what does the Bible say? This person is struggling with this area, or they're sick and they're dying. What does the Bible say? What does it teach? What do we learn? Let's respond the way he did. He didn't hold Jairus at bay and say, and put the carrot and say, here, you know, do a little dance for me. You know, you got to beg and you got to plead. No, he went with him. He didn't look at that outcast and said, how dare you would touch me? No, instead, he takes time to deal with her. Why is that? He said, but the little girl is dying. He knows the little girl at that point in time is probably already gone. And the servant probably had already traveled that was there. And he knew that he could still help him. They all learned. There was always something they could be learning, always something they could be teaching, always something they could be growing in. And that's what we need to understand in this change. There's salvation. There's glorification. We're in the sanctification process. He is changing us. He is trying to make us more and more like him. He's trying to put us through that fire, and we see the scum. We see the impurities. Let's get rid of it instead of it just waiting for another problem, another issue where they'll just rear their ugly head again. Tonight, the situations are all different. They all hurt. Sometimes they're glorious. Sometimes they're sad. Sometimes you look at certain cases and you're like, I don't know how that person even makes it through. God gives us grace to handle things. He gives us the grace to handle whatever situation we're in. We looked at that this morning. But we come to this moment, we come to this time, we realize he is the answer I need. I've been looking for this answer. Rely upon him. Depend upon him. You see the stark differences and the similarities that are there, but you see the answer is the same all the way through. He's the one that can help. He's the one we need. He's the one we need to lift up. He's the one that we need to show the world. He is the answer. I am not the answer. Jesus is. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being that answer. Thank you for all the amazing things you have done in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would allow you to make a change in us, like that was made in the maniac's life, and we would go out and just talk about how good you've been to us. Lord, help us to see, help us to grab a hold of this thought. I need God. I can't be the right father without him. I can't be the right husband. I can't be the right pastor. I can't be the right son. I can't be the right grandson. I can't be any of those things in my own strength. I need you, Lord. And Lord, help us to embrace that. Help us to say, I need to spend time with you. I love you, but I know I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I need to be dependent upon you in every area, in every situation, and I need to move forward for your honor and your glory. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us never think, hey, I'll be good without praying today. No, help us understand, I need to spend time with you. Help us to not think, I can take care of not reading my Bible for a week. No, help us to see, Lord, impress upon our hearts, convict us about the fact, just like this Jairus needed, and just like this woman needed you, we need you too.